Chapter 4.
Are you certain this is a good idea, dear one?
George asked me telepathically, as he raised up a barrel of fresh water for Malky and Saren to grab.
If I go along with you, then our island will lose two of its dragon protectors.
Honestly, I don't know if this is the right call, I admitted to my bond mate. But one thing is for sure, whatever's waiting for us on this island is going to be a problem. And I wouldn't want to even dare check it out without my two heavy hitters at my side. The island will be fine without you and Tyrion. I've seen Malky's fighting skills firsthand, and I bet Saren and Nyxie's are just as good.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
Malky's voice gasped.
Did you hear that, sis? The Draco Rex said I'm a great fighter.
He said you were good.
Saren reminded her brother.
Don't let it go to your head.
Good, great, it's still a compliment.
Malky teased. Though they weren't coming along on this journey, the two smaller water dragons were in charge of loading the cargo into the ship. They'd already packed us 4 barrels of fresh water, as well as 6 crates full of boar jerky and salted fish meat, and there were still a few more on the way.
Will Tyrion be okay without his bondmate?
George's voice questioned.
This will be the longest he's ever been away from her, correct?
Yeah, I confirmed with a nod. But I think he'll be okay. You and I have been apart for long periods of time before, and it never seemed to be too detrimental to our health.
True,
the blue-scaled water dragon admitted.
Though every second you're not around, I have a strange feeling of dread inside my gut. Almost as if I'm afraid I'll never see you again.
Then it's a damn good thing you're coming along on this journey, isn't it? I winked at George and turned back to the beach. Tyrion and Jemma were both already out on the sands, as was Mira. Nadir and Lazan were both partially nocturnal, so they'd woken up before the sun had even peeked out over the horizon. All 4 of the women stood on the sandy shore, and they watched as the 3 water dragons and I loaded things onto the ship. Finally, once the supplies were all loaded, the 2 adolescent water dragons leapt over the side of the Dragon Queen, plopped into the water with a giant splash, and then swam back up to the shore. Meanwhile, I hoisted myself up onto George's back, and then my bondmate followed his children. We made it back to my friend's position in no time at all, so I dismounted the dragon and walked over to give them an update.
Are we all loaded and ready to go?
Mira asked, as she peeked over my shoulder at the ship.
Did you make sure you loaded extra cannonballs? Because if we have to fight another wind dragon, I don't want us to run out of projectiles.
I had the water dragons load 6 whole boxes of cannonballs. And we loaded up 5 crates full of parasite bone-tipped arrows, all dipped in pufferwaddle toxin. If we come across any enemies, they won't have any idea what hit them.
They might have some idea.
Jemma frowned and cupped her belly like she was trying to comfort herself.
Because you're not taking your stealthiest archer with you.
Jemma, I love you, but you know you can't come along.
What if I just rode atop Tyrion the whole time?
The auburn-haired Nerolo pleaded.
I would be up in the clouds, far away from any danger that might be on the ground.
But not from any danger that's up in the sky, or any danger that has long-range weaponry.
Please don't make this any harder than it already is, Jemma.
Tyrion hung his head.
I think I'm the one who wants you to come on this journey more than anyone else, but I know that's selfish of me. I don't want you getting hurt, and I really don't want the little guy inside your belly to get hurt either.
I know. It's just strange, that's all. I've been on every single one of Ben's voyages since we've met, and now I have to stay back while he goes out. It just feels wrong.
It's only temporary, I promised the tall Nerolope woman. Once our child is born, you can always ask one of their dozens of aunts to watch them while you're out at sea. But for now, you regretfully have to stay put.
I know.
Jemma placed her hand in the middle of her pregnant belly.
This little boy is going to mean the world to me, and it's my duty as a mother to protect him at all costs. If that means I have to sacrifice my livelihood for a while, then so be it.
If it makes you feel any better, we'll be in that position soon too.
Nadir interjected, as she pointed back and forth between herself and Lazan.
We are bound to our mate all throughout the pregnancy, but there will come a time when our growing bodies become a liability. When that happens, we'll be sidelined as well.
Don't think of it as being sidelined, I corrected the Kunag woman. Think of it as taking on a temporary new role, the role of a mother.
You're right,
Jemma said, as her eyes filled with tears.
I'm going to cherish this child, Ben, and no matter what the hardships happen between now and his birth, I know it'll all be worth it.
That's the spirit!
Tyrion grinned and seemed to perk up a little.
Honestly, I can't wait to meet the little guy. Me and him are going to be best buddies.
I'm sure you will be. I smiled at the silver dragon. And when you have little dragons of your own, they'll probably be the perfect bondmates for our kid.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, Ben.
Tyrion gulped.
I don't think I'm ready to be a daddy yet. I'm not even sure if I can at this point in my life cycle.
All it will take is for you to meet a sweet female dragon. Then you'll fall in love, settle down for a bit, have a few little ones.
Nope!
Tyrion scoffed.
Not a chance. No way.
Never say never, my friend. Someday you will find a partner as great as I have in Nixie. When that happens, your feelings on the matter will change.
We'll see about that.
Tyrion protested. Though my attention was focused on the amusing conversation between the two dragons, I noticed Mira kept staring off into the tree line. Is something wrong, Mira? I asked the golden-scaled warrior.
This isn't our entire crew for this journey, is it?
Mira cleared her throat, and I detected a hint of nervousness in the warrior's voice. Of course not. Heading off to this island might be a bit reckless, but I haven't totally lost it. The twins are off trying to find Jonas, and then Isla is going to be bringing the rest of us here in a bit.
Is Isla coming along? I don't believe she has ever left the island, not even to go into the shallow water to fish.
Unfortunately not. I shook my head. Isla's job requires her to stay here at all times, remember? It'd be hard to man the archives and teach the Dragonkin children about their past if the only archivist and teacher on the island is off on a voyage. No, Isla just said she had a couple parting gifts she wanted to give us before we headed out. So she offered to meet us down here before we set sail.
Ugh, I just hope Zarya and Daria are able to find Jonas. If he went up to that spot where you and Morella found him the first time, it could take weeks to root him out.
Well, let's hope not, because we don't have weeks. The five of us stood there on the beach and looked out over the pristine ocean as the four dragons goofed off in the water. We watched as George played a game of water cannon tag with his daughter, while Malky and Tyrion both essentially played chicken with their respective elemental breaths. Steam hissed and spat as Tyrion's white-hot flames pushed back against Malky's blast of seawater, but the two competitors seemed to be at a standstill.
Oh my goodness!
The bubbly voice of Nima gasped from behind us.
Oh, look at those two go! Wait,
Gemma muttered as she glanced back over her shoulder.
Nima's going to be a part of your crew.
She sure was. Nima was one of the Nirilope women we'd brought back from the first island we went out and explored, and although she wasn't anyone of high status in her tribe, the green-eyed deer woman was notorious for her bubbly personality and optimism. If anything, maybe she'd make the trip a bit more positive. It was Ainsley's suggestion, I shrugged. She and I both thought it'd be good for her to get off the island for a little bit.
You know that's just Ainsley speak for, she's annoying me, so I want her to go away, right?
Maybe. But frankly, I don't care. If this is going to be as harrowing of a journey as I think it might be, it'll be good to have somebody as optimistic and high energy as Nima along for the ride. Then I turned around to look at the incoming troop. Isla stood at the front of the pack, and she carried an armful of various cloth as she approached. Right behind her was the Nirilope woman, Nima, whose freckled face was scrunched up with glee as she watched the fire and water dragons duking it out. Beside Nima walked Kandara and Anora, both of whom had been chosen for the particular set of skills they brought along with them. The butterfly woman, Kandara, flapped her green wings softly behind her as she approached, and her golden hair was braided into a single thick braid that cascaded over her right shoulder and bounced as she walked. Her red eye sat atop her sharp nose, and the beginnings of a smirk twisted up the left side of her mouth. Meanwhile, Anora's sunflower yellow eyes flitted back and forth as she held her arms crossed over her equally yellow-scaled chest. The blue skin underneath her scales was simply radiant in the afternoon sun, and strands of her green hair blew wildly in the wind. We were going to need Kandara's zoological expertise to make sure we found the right climate to incubate the egg, as well as to help us try and care for it once it was hatched. The dragonkin healer Anora, on the other hand, was there to do exactly what she did best. I usually overloaded these voyages with powerful warrior women, but I'd quickly realized I needed way more variation than that. A healer in the group would be able to patch up our minor scrapes, or even potentially something more severe, should the need arise.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Mira grinned as she surveyed our crew.
A healer, an animal expert, and an archer to replace Gemma? Ah, I regret ever doubting you, Draco Rex.
Damn straight. I gently slapped the warrior's shoulder. Plus, we'll have a soothsayer and two more agile fighters once the twins get back here with Jonas.
If they get back here, that is. Hello, Draco Rex.
The one-eyed Isla greeted me with a smile.
I have rounded up the rest of your crew like you asked, and I also come bearing gifts.
You didn't have to get me anything, I joked with a wink. I must have been a very good boy this year, huh? Unfortunately, my Santa Claus joke was completely lost on the Dragonkin woman, but she still smiled and nodded nonetheless.
Nima?
Isla turned her head toward the pale, red-haired deer woman.
Could you perhaps show our king the first item? Of course!
The bubbly Nima smiled. Nima reached down, picked up the large black square of fabric at the top of the pile, and then unfurled it in her hands. It was about 4 feet tall and nearly 6 feet wide, which was wide enough that it took Nima's whole arm span just to hold it in place. Once it was unfolded, however, I recognized it instantly. The fabric was completely black, save for a large symbol in the middle painted on with white paint. It was a circular image of a crude seafarer's compass, and at the circle's center was the outline of a dragon's head that bore a crown on its top. The sign of the Draco Rex. A Jolly Roger! I grinned from ear to ear. You actually made us a Jolly Roger.
If that's what you want to call it.
Isla shrugged.
I only wanted you to have something you could fly to let us know it's you returning to our island and not another one of the orc ships. I know the dragons can technically warn us too, but you seemed excited when you talked about this idea, so I wanted to please you. And...
Isla, you have no idea how damn cool I think this is. In fact, I think this might just be the greatest gift I've ever received. Yes, even cooler than the N64 I got back in 97.
How do you do it?
Nadir inquired.
I don't mean to sound like an acorn order, but how is it that you make all these interesting things with only one eye? Well, my depth perception is a little off.
Isla admitted with a snort.
But otherwise, it just kind of comes natural to me. I've been the village seamstress for years now, and I wasn't going to let something as simple as losing an eye come between me and what I do best. Speaking of which, I have something for you to kunags as well.
Isla held out the pile of fabrics in her hands, and Nadir snatched it from her in an instant. She passed half of the pile over to Lazan, who didn't waste a second unfolding the goods and looking them over.
You made us new outfits? These look incredible! Not just new outfits?
The one-eyed dragonkin woman corrected.
New armor. If you look closely at the fur, you should be able to recognize it fairly quickly.
Nadir and Lazan held out their garments before them. And for the first time, I was able to witness their designs in all their glory. Each one looked like furry tankinis, with a deep V-neck that would surely show off the woman's cleavage. But one thing stuck out about the armor more so than anything else. They were made of bristly white fur. Is that the hide of the mole bat?
It is.
Isla grinned. How in the fuck were you able to cut that? Even my sea glass sword could barely pierce its hide, and that was with me putting my full force into it.
I have my secrets.
Isla winked.
Though in all honesty, it simply involved a lot of brute force, which meant a lot of help from the warrior women of this island. However you did it, we can't thank you enough.
Nadir grinned at the dragonkin woman.
These look great, and if they are really made of that thing's hide, then Lezran and I will now be nearly invincible. More importantly,
Isla added,
your future children with Draco Rex will be protected. As much as I loved your old outfits, they didn't do much in terms of protecting your midriff. The most essential part.
Lazan sighed and patted her stomach.
We'll put them on as soon as we set sail. I cannot wait.
Speaking of waiting,
Mira spoke up as she pointed across the horizon.
Look at what the twins found.
I followed the sightline of Mira's finger across the beach until I saw what she was referring to. There, down the way, were three figures. Two of them were nearly identical, with long pointed spears and a strut that meant business. The third figure was obviously a man, and he wore a cream-colored tunic whose lower half fluttered in the wind as he walked. Zarya and Darya had found Jonas.
Thank the gods! I was starting to wonder if he'd gone out to sea on his own.
As the trio approached, they were all smiles.
Ready to head out on another adventure, Draco Rex?
Jonas threw his hands out in a joyous greeting.
I've been practicing the rebonding ceremony for the last 12 hours straight, and I think I finally got it down to a perfect science. This time I'll be able to keep my focus even if there are wargs attacking, or cannonballs rocking the foundation, or even a surprise earthquake or volcanic eruption. This time, Draco Rex, the ceremony will go off without so much as a minor hiccup.
You didn't tell him? I chuckled awkwardly to the twins.
You just told us to go get him.
Zarya shrugged.
We assumed you'd be the one to tell him what he was needed for.
Tell me what?
Jonas's head quirked inquisitively to the side.
Are we not going after the fire dragons that escaped last time?
Not exactly, I explained. Well, maybe. It all depends on where they decided to fly off to.
Okay,
the soothsayer said, but it was clear by his frown he wasn't following.
Are you telling me there is a new objective we need to accomplish first?
You could say that. I nodded. We're going to try and incubate our wind dragon egg, and we need to go to an island with a particular climate to do so.
That sounds like a good strategy,
Jonas agreed.
If we have a third kind of dragon allied with our people, we will stand a much better chance of eventually defeating the orcs, or reining in the out-of-control fire breathers.
Exactly, I proclaimed, even though I dreaded the next words that would come out of my mouth. So, the island we'll be sailing to is to the southwest of here. It'll be at least a day or two's worth of sailing, so we'd probably best be on our way before...
Hold on!
The soothsayer's smile faded.
Did you say we were going to an island to the far southwest of here?
Yep. I held firm. It's one of the few places within the Dragon Queen's optimal sailing distance, and according to Kandara, it has the perfect climate for incubating a wind dragon egg. Plus, we know the orcs won't bother us when we're...
Draco Rex!
Jonas cut in.
You know I respect you dearly, and love you like a son, so please don't hear these words wrong. But what the fuck are you thinking?
I knew the soothsayer and his question were serious, but hearing the old man curse so bluntly almost made me snicker. I know you told Isla the island was dangerous, I admitted, as I schooled my expression.
But there are no buts about it, Ben,
the elderly dragonkin protested.
Going to one of the southern islands is practically asking to be killed. Do you have any idea what's down there?
Actually, I was hoping you'd fill me in. Jonas took a deep breath as he recomposed himself. Then, once he had exhaled out all his frustrations, his demeanor returned to the kind old man routine he normally held.
Ben. The legends about that island explain it is full of deadly creatures,
he explained as he ran a hand through his peppered black hair.
In addition to oversized humanoid insects, it is a hot spot for wild dragon activity of every element.
Even better, I declared. So you're saying there is a good chance it would be the nesting spot of a wind dragon?
I would almost guarantee it.
Jonas sighed like it was the last thing he wanted to say.
But you have to understand, it is an active dragon site. That means we could encounter full-grown dragons from any of the different elements, and none of them would be domesticated. They'd try to kill us on sight, and that's only if the other creatures didn't get to us first.
See, I don't necessarily see this as a bad thing, I said with a hint of levity. Sure, it'll be dangerous, but it would give us a great opportunity to study the dragons up close and in person as well. Maybe you could even try to rebond one of us with the wild dragons.
Rebond with... Are you listening to yourself, Draco Rex?
Jonas frowned and put his hands on his hips.
You can't rebond with a creature that was never bonded with anyone in the first place. You have to form the dragon bond when they are adolescents at the latest. Also, are you familiar with the legend of the Shadow Monster? Because that creature is said to dwell on that island as well.
Look, we don't really have another option. The orc fleets are going to be scouring the seas looking for our missing fire dragon, so it's not like we'll be safe just sailing aimlessly to islands. I figured this would be a good starting place because there's no way in hell the orcs would take the risk and come to this island.
As they shouldn't,
Jonas agreed with a shudder. I understand you're a little spooked, I told the soothsayer. But this is our only chance to get a leg up on those green bastards. If we could hatch this egg and have the wind dragon bond with one of us, then we would be rolling with not one, not two, but three different types of dragons. Plus, who knows? Maybe this shadow monster you keep referring to is actually some sort of misunderstood beast that could switch to our side with a bit of proper motivation.
Doubtful. Though I appreciate your optimism.
Jonas, I implored the soothsayer as I walked over and put my arm around him. Look around at our crew. This is, without a doubt, one of the most solid teams I've ever put together. Plus, we're going to have two dragons of our own with us. No matter what this island has in store for this crew, I know we'll be able to handle it together, like we always do. Jonas stroked his chin for a moment as he stared daggers into my soul. Then the dragonkin elder simply let out a deep sigh and hung his head slightly.
I'm sorry, Ben. I should know better than to doubt your decision-making abilities. As our king, every decision you've made has worked out in your people's favor so far. Who am I to doubt you now?
Well, you are the only one of us who can see into the future,
Mira reminded the old man.
That might just give you a little bit of expertise on the subject.
Yeah,
Gemma spoke up.
Have you seen anything about this voyage in your visions, Jonas?
The soothsayer just shook his head.
Unfortunately not, which could be a very good thing, or a very bad thing. On one hand, I haven't seen any sort of disaster occur in the near future. On the other hand, this could also mean the universe hasn't decided what it wants to happen to us yet. Or, in the worst-case scenario, I perish before I can get to that point in time.
Nobody's gonna perish on this trip, I promised the soothsayer. Not on my watch. Jonas's soft face curled up into a smile.
Oh, Ben, this is why you make such a great leader to the Drakenkin people. You don't just give us all lip service like some kings would do, no. You care about your subjects, and for that we are all extremely grateful.
So does this mean you'll all come along? Jonas's smile quickly turned into a frown, and he crossed his arms across his chest.
I suppose. Who knows? Maybe a vision will come to me on the way there, one that could increase our chances of survival.
Good. I smiled at Jonas. I knew I could count you in, old friend. Now, Gemma and Isla, if you want to take the younger water dragons and head back to the castle, I think now would be the time. Say your goodbyes, because we're about to be on our way. I'd already kissed each of my children and lovers this morning, so I watched somberly as George bade farewell to his two children, and Gemma said her goodbyes with Tyrion. Both the Nirilope women and the small silver dragon had tears streaming down the sides of their faces, but I could tell from their body language they were just sad to part from each other for the first time. Finally, once everyone had said their farewells, we all turned back to the Dragon Queen. Isla, Gemma, and the two adolescent dragons watched us as we waded out into the water, climbed up the side of the schooner ship, and then took our positions. Once we were in place, I commanded the anchor to be lifted, and we began to float out into the open water. Soon, the wind caught our sails, and I looked back to watch as our friends bade us adieu. Next stop, the mysterious Isle of the Shadow Monster.